Hello there. My name is Sam.
And I'm the man with no name, Lance Wayne.
And we're the hosts of The Antagonists, an all-villain podcast. You can join us every other Thursday for a new episode as we discuss all of your favorite villains from books, movies, and more.
Are the villains you love to hate really as wicked as they seem? Tune in and find out.
You can find us on all major podcast platforms or join us over on fearscapemedia.com.
There is no question that something is here, lurking somewhere in the darkened corners. But how will we ever find out what it is? We need to look, always, and never stop. No matter what stands in our way, no matter what others may think. Explore the darkness. Shine light into it. Join the red strings and the silver threads. Everything is connected, somehow. I am Mark L. Watson. This is Peer Beyond the Veil.
My first experience was a strange one, about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I had very light curtains. And you know, sometimes you wake up middle of the night, you see maybe a dressing gown at the back of your door, and it looks as if someone stood there. It takes you a second to sort of go, oh, what was that? I had that experience, but it was in my curtain, and it looked as if someone was stood behind the curtain. So I threw one of my spare pillows at it just to shake the curtain just to make sure that shape disappears, because I thought my eyes were playing trick. As I did that, the shadow decided to walk across the room. I've never pulled water to the bed so quickly.
The county of Lancashire in northern England has a long and varied history of the paranormal and the unusual. An ancient place wrapped in centuries of toil and warfare. The buildings, many of them as old as time, still stand in places, holding the memories of what has been. A place of witches, spectres, ghostly black dogs, the lady in white and the lady in green. Rufford Old Hall, built originally in 1530, plays host to all manner of the unknown. Ghosts of the dead walk the hallways there, forlorn lovers. Some even say Queen Elizabeth I herself. The trial of the Pendle Witches in 1612 played out its saga in Lancaster Courts, one of the most well-known witch trials of the time. 12 were accused, and whilst one died in custody and one was acquitted, the other 10 were sentenced to death by hanging and met their end at Gallows Hill. Their souls roam Pendle Hill, a place which would also go on to be the spot where, 40 years afterwards, George Fox would have his vision from God of the souls walking to Christ, which would lead him to the eventual formation of the Quaker movement. Just east of Preston lies Samlesbury Hall, widely regarded as one of the most haunted locations in England. A historic house built in 1325 by Gilbert de Southworth. It too claims its own witch trials, its own ghost who walks the hallways there. Spirits, good and bad, rattle the doors and pace the floors. Samlesbury's infamous white lady, Dorothy Southworth, still walks the grounds looking for her lover. The county and the neighbouring cities of Manchester and Liverpool paint a textured canvas of spooky colours, Wisps of the unknown and the ancient twist around the stone homes and forgotten factories and mills. Where better to be a ghost hunter? Tonight I'm joined by Dan and Lindsay from Paranormal Encounters UK, a leading paranormal investigation team from the area who actively chase down that which many of us hide from. They get themselves into the darkened spaces, the forgotten old buildings. When the door knocks, they knock back. Employing simple techniques, not swamping themselves in tech, not running for running's sake, they seek to debunk everything first, yet still have a wealth of fascinating, terrifying, and entirely unexplainable evidence. I ask them what led them to chase the darkness and peer beyond the veil.
It scared the bejesus out of me for the first time experiencing something like that. I could actually do that again, pull about lengthways out of my bed instead of sideways. It was a scary experience for me. But then when Most Haunted hit the TV screens, I was just fascinated from there. When we go out to do investigations, I try not to go out and use 50,000 pieces of the technology. It's usually just a camera, a torch, an EVP or an EMF meter, and that is it. I think the senses are more important. And if you can catch something live on camera, then a piece of technology, because that technology is designed for specifically for actually like electricians and things like that, the EMF especially. So you can't use that as 100% proof. But if you catch something on camera, it's there for everyone to see.
After my grandma passed away when I was 16, I felt like I needed another way to communicate with her. And I think then I started getting interested in like talking to mediums and things like that, and that really interested me. I always watched paranormal programs with my dad, so I was brought up watching that kind of thing anyway.
Nestled between the twisted boughs and creeping vines of Bowden in the suburbs of Manchester, the house known as Brackendean lays entirely abandoned. Built in the year 1900, it was a large family home on a quiet street until it was sold to the Iranian government in the 1970s. The Consul General lived there with his family, the home well decorated, beautifully maintained, and the location of many a grand party. But following the Islamic Revolution, it was abandoned, and has since laid empty, a place untouchable by the local council. It's still owned by Iran, diplomatic land, and they have no priority to negotiate its sale. So it just sits and rots. It's been smashed, vandalized, torched, and the ghost stories abound. Rumor has it that the Consul General himself killed his wife and child in the building before fleeing back to Iran in the chaos and eventually meeting his fate in Tehran.
It was called the Murder Mansion, a place in Manchester, and it's basically an abandoned old mansion. It was terrifying. I don't think Dan expected me to carry on doing it, to be fair, because I constantly have my back to the wall, lots of slamming doors, door handles opening. It was very, very scary. We did the Newsome Park Asylum in Liverpool, which is an amazing building. It's huge. Didn't experience a lot, but I did hear like a funny voice over my shoulder, which absolutely terrified me because it was my first experience of actually hearing anything or seeing anything. And I bolted out and left everybody else.
you don't need much, really. Just a single voice over your shoulder when you know there's nobody there is kind of all it takes, really, isn't it? Even if that's all you come home with, I think that's probably all you need to come home with, really. So what's been your favourite places? What would you say, if I go to each of you individually, what's your favourite, has been your favourite investigation?
I've got, well, two, really. I think the mansion we went to, that was absolutely amazing. It was windy at the place. The windows were smashed in. There was two rooms specifically downstairs. One door slamming, one door wasn't. So it didn't make sense to us because both of them had the same gif, you know, give on pushing the door, etc. But what we noticed was the wind was blowing that hard against the door, you had to use all your force to open it. So we couldn't understand why it was slamming. We stood there for ages waiting for it to slam, nothing, and we thought the wind was doing it. Occasionally it might open gently and just tap against the actual frame of the door. And we was like, okay, well, why is it slamming when we walk away? Sometimes we stood there for 15 minutes. We waited, we had the camera fixed on it, nothing happening. So I thought, right, we'll leave it. It mustn't have been that door. So as we get upstairs, we hear the slam again. We think, okay, come back downstairs, check it over again. Not doing nothing. So we go back upstairs, go to this room where it's a kid's room. It used to be a child's room. I close the door and you can hear me push the latch and it shuts fully. So it doesn't open without you literally pushing down the handle to open the door as you would do in most houses. So we walk back around the corner just as we're going to set up ready to do some EVP. We hear the handle go and the door push open. Now the door, it was hard to open anyway because the carpet had obviously got damp over the few months or years it's been abandoned, so it's obviously expanded, so you have to physically, you know, with some force push it open. And we thought someone actually walked in because it actually, like I said, someone actually held the handle down to open it. So Lindsay sort of like almost fell on top of me from panicking. I think I still got bruises on my left arm from where she grabbed hold of me. That was probably my favourite one so far. Because we could hear things running up and downstairs, like little, sound like little feet, like little kid running up and down. So we thought someone was physically in the house with us. So we did. But Lindsay and I started getting a bit panicky then. I think the other one that was really good for me was when I took my daughter to Turton Towers in Bolton, and it was okay, didn't see nothing until one of the guys who was watching, I can't remember his name now, who said, take a look at this particular time frame. And it was weird as well because as I panned the camera to my daughter, she walked down the grass verge and I said, I've just heard something run by me towards you, Hannah. Now, as we play it back, there's a full white figure going at some speed, pans right past the camera, going towards my daughter, and that got in the paper, that, because I've had people looking at that to debunk it, and there's a guy called Tony from Paranormal Investigations UK, and he likes to make sure he can debunk things before he puts anything up there to say, you know, he doesn't say it's paranormal, he says it's unexplainable, and he put it through different spectrums to see whether he could figure out what it was, different lights, you name it. You couldn't come up with an answer. Your turn, Lindsay.
as much as I don't want to admit this, because Dan will probably make me go back there and I really don't want to, was the murder mansion, just because of the amount of activity we had. It was fascinating, though terrifying. And the other one would have to be, it was in Cheshire quite recently. It was the abandoned hotel. Lots of history around it as well, which we could really dig into, and I really enjoyed that side of it, actually knowing the history of the building. I loved that one.
Sorry to interrupt. So we went to this hotel.
Tell the story.
Yeah, so went to this hotel. Now, and we feel a bit awful about it now. Well, we didn't do nothing in there to damage anything or anything in there. We just thought it was abandoned. There was no money. You know the story. They just basically shut up and board up usually. But this place, literally, you could walk through the entrance, no problem. But we found out recently that it's not abandoned. It's been renovated. But because of COVID-19, they can't do nothing. But unfortunately, as you can imagine with the these guys who urban explorers, word of mouth, boom, everyone gets down there from anyone, from your aunt to your uncle and neighbour down the street. They've decided to go in there, do their things, and not all of them, some of them are good, who go in these places, abandoned explorers, they just go in there, take photos, and just admire the places and history. Unfortunately, you do get the bad eggs who have literally destroyed the place. I'm on about that. It's so beautiful. A big, massive chandelier in this ballroom has been absolutely destroyed by idiots hanging off it. The particular room we thought we were looking at for this light source, because we thought it was a torch, because we knew there was a couple more investigation teams in there, but they were on the other side of the building, unbeknownst to ourselves at the time. As we're outside, just having a quick break, I see this. Well, I didn't see it at the time, but the camera picked it up. There's a torch that flashes, so like goes from the right to the left and then disappears and goes away. It doesn't make sense. Because when we get in there, we were trying to find that particular room to get into. We thought it was part of the ballroom, but it wasn't. It was a secret little side stairs that we eventually got up to. Now, there was no time for anyone to get back down and move on, if you know what I mean. I sort of like went in there within about 20 seconds of that light anomaly. So we can't figure out what that was. But the place was gorgeous. I mean, it felt a bit strange. It was the first time we brought a medium on board, Jane.
By all accounts, yeah. Jane is an amazing psychic medium. I was going to ask you what she brings to the team and what difference you think that makes to have her live in an investigation with you guys.
I think she brings what every paranormal team needs, really, is you need a scientific side, a rational scientific side. You do need the spiritual side from that. And also, we do have followers who are on the fence of everything. So I don't want them leaning there or there. I want them to be in the middle to have both perspectives. Now, Lindsay will tell you a few things about Jane in regards to what she told Lindsay. I've always been sceptical in regards to that, but not where I'm going to say, look, I don't believe you, because, like I said, I've got family members who claim they are mediums, and there's a couple of things in the past what they've said have blown my mind. In regards to Jane, she did a live reading on me and brought me to tears. And I'm not easy to be, jump in to say, yeah, I believe 100%, but she brought me to tears when she told me. Because I had to ask my mother in regards to this particular person that came through. I never met her. Long story short, it was my grandma. She died a few days before I was born. My mum had to give birth to me on her own while her mum was being buried. But this particular person that came through described my grandma down to a T. I'm not joking. I've never had anything like that before. I've never had any readings before. Like I said, when my family members just said here and there little bits and bats, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. How would you know that? But when Jane finished the reading, I wasn't upset then, I was just curious. I'm like, okay. So I rang my mum and she went, yeah, that's my mum. That's your grandma. And I'm like, okay, wow. And that kind of went, I got brought to tears because the way she was talking, it sounded like my, I know it sounds silly, but my auntie Sue, my mum's sister, because my mum always says her mum and her sister always sound very very similar attitude, if you know what I mean. So it kind of made me think even more about the mediums. So when they just said, "Can she come in more often?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's fine." Because I think it's good to have both spectrums of the paranormal meeting into one. I like to do a little test with Jane when we go to obviously when we go to sites and buildings. Lindsay will not tell her anything. Well, I'm assuming she doesn't tell her anything. And I'll say, "Look, I want you to come here blind. You don't know where you're going, what's going on, what you're picking up." And I'll have a history of everything that's going on in, in that building or that area. And yeah, I'd say about 8 to 10 times she'll get things right.
On the way to the investigations, regardless of if we've had it organised for a long time or whatever, I always feel so sick. I always panic. And every time I go to Dan, "Oh God, I feel sick." And it is always nerves. It is. However, I think it can heighten the activity, whether it's you picking up on stuff, hearing things, whether it's all in your mind, I don't know. But I personally think that when you are really scared, you do tend to, you're jumpier, you're more alert, things like that. So fear does play a massive part in it. I think that we get more comfortable as the night goes on and we relax into it a little bit more. But there's something about when me and Dan go out on investigations together, it seems to just explode activity sometimes, doesn't it, Dan? I mean, we've had times when we had nothing. We went to Pendle the first time and there was absolutely nothing. The second time was insane with activity, and fear does play a big part in it. I do question myself every time, why am I doing it? Why am I doing this? But I think when you've done the investigation, it's such a good feeling. You know, you've tried to communicate, you've tried to prove something. And in a way, you've worked with that fear and you've overcome it a little bit. One of my biggest fears is actually bringing something home with me. So I genuinely don't know what I'd do. I think my husband would go mental with me. But yeah, that's not happened yet, touch wood.
Do you have any cleansing ritual that you do, you know, at the end of an investigation?
We don't do anything at the end of an investigation, but as soon as I get home and I get out of my car, I automatically just say out loud, regardless of whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning, "You're not coming in the house with me, you're not allowed in the house with me." Probably nothing there. My neighbours probably think I'm nuts. But I always say it out loud, definitely.
Well, I don't think you're nuts at all. I would be saying it too.
Yeah. I just go on me and go to bed. I'm done. You do get this weird feeling when you're in the car driving off and you're looking at the back of your car through the rearview mirror and you're thinking there's something up in there when you look through there. You've got this weird sense, I think, because your senses are on extra alert, you know, you're heightened. Any little blip, noise, farts, you name it, you're going to be like, "Oh, what was that?" I mean, I did a lone investigation up at Turton Towers myself only a few weeks ago, and two things spooked the hell out of me was, as I was turning the camera back around on myself just to speak to the people live, I looked to my right and I saw, all I can say is like, it's as if someone blew a breath or a cigarette in my face and there's some white smoke there, and I bolted back that much out of my neck, and there was this big crash. I don't know what it was, but it turned like an entire tree just fell over within a few seconds of that happening, didn't Lindsay?
Yeah, it did.
I've never got out of there so quick. It was pitch black in the middle of a forest and I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm out of here, dumb." But that's, I think that's the only time I've probably been really, really spooked, because it was just in my face. But I looked back on the video to see, was it my own breath, you know, because it was cold enough, but it wasn't. So I knew it wasn't my breath, like you would expect. So I still to this day don't know what that was. So that's spooked me out a bit.
It was the polymath Charles Babbage, father of the computer as he became known, who in 1937 speculated that spoken words leave in the air a lasting impression, their sound itself affecting the particles that make up the atmosphere. In his work, The Ninth Bridgewater Treatise, a work on natural theology the search for the existence of God using standard experiences of nature and how it works, that Babbage postulated the ability for sound and energy to exist long beyond it had become inaudible. Leading to the study of psychometry, and eventually to the theory that materials, most specifically stone, could hold energies to be replayed at a later date, it went hand in hand with parapsychologist T.C. Lethbridge's theory that ghosts as we know them are not the spirits of the dead, merely the trapped, non-interactive recordings of the living, replaying out in only the right conditions.
Residual energy, the stone tape theory as they call it, where because of all that energy you've let go, potentially could be recorded within the property of, well, stone tape theory or brick tape theory, whatever you want to call it, whatever type of house you live into. And that emotion, raw emotion, stays there. It might not show itself for 100 years from an energy that was built up over time. There's that theory. I do believe in residual energies, where it's just a replay of a particular event. It could be just a normal, nice event. There's one in particular near where I live. There's an old place called Smithell's Coaching House that's been converted into houses, and it's hundreds, many hundreds of years old. And she was telling me about this. Every so often, she'll wake up and can hear a horse and carriage going zooming past the house. Speaking to another gentleman, I was telling him about, I do paranormal investigations, and he was telling me that when he used to live near there, you could hear them going by. And people have witnessed it, and it will be there full on. You can see it. None of this typical Hollywood ghost thing where you see right through them. It's fully there as if, wow, and it's running right through the field. Now, this guy said he actually went down to look at it because he wanted to take a photo of it. As he's getting closer and closer, it just disappeared, as in gone. That's what we obviously call it, residual energy. Then you've got your other side of this spectrum. Is it people who died there and still see themselves as living in that property? Do they know that someone else is living there? Do they know the building's no longer there? Is a house been built in that vicinity? Another theory is it's something to do with time, a dimension where time and space are crossing only like a very, like pressing against a veil, so you can just about see back in time. And it was, I can't remember what it was on now, but and it was a paranormal investigation show, and they were communicating with this thing, and they were telling him that there he's from 1920, and obviously this guy's from 2010. They were communicating with each other saying, no, I'm not dead. I can hear you banging, so I'm banging back. So, I suppose until you can physically prove it, and that's what we do it for. I don't do it just for entertainment value for the followers. I do it because I want to know what's going on after we close our eyes for the final time. And I'm sure I've thought about it one day, sat on your couch thinking, oh my God, in 20, 40, 50 years, I'm going to be dead. Is it going to be painful? Is it going to be scary? Is it going to be black? Nurse, is that it? Let's see if we can find out what's on the other side before I go. I try and look at it as a sign, from a scientific point of view as well, where Einstein proved that energy cannot be created, cannot be destroyed, can be reshaped.
I'm a big believer in that we've got all this personality and all this soul, and we've got all these emotions, and I've always thought it can't just disappear. It's got to go somewhere. There's too much of a person to just disappear. It's terrifying. I don't believe all energy is good, obviously. I think there are negative energy out there, therefore negative spirits. But I'd like to think that there's not demons. purely just to put my own mind at rest when I'm out investigating, probably.
So, what is next, guys? Where are you going to be next?
There's a trailer. Check it out on our Facebook. Andy is—he basically runs his own business. Rents out this office space, and he set up some webcams a few months ago, just for security reasons, just to make sure no one's trying to break into his office or when the cleaner goes in, nothing goes missing. And they come on when it activates on motion or noise. And the things he's been capturing is absolutely amazing. So about a month and a half ago, he did a live for us on a Saturday night. And he likes to disprove things. And he's very stern to know that if it's a bang, let's find out why that's banging. And we've got these cat balls. Obviously, you touch cat balls, they flash. You've seen these on some paranormal shows, probably. And we put these cat balls on this picture frame. And one of them flew off and came right next to him. Now, the activity he's getting at the moment is amazing. He's found a lot of history of the actual area he's in. It goes back a couple of hundred years. There was other building sites on there beforehand, before these offices were built. And got a full-on figure standing over one of the cat balls after he left, sort of looking down at it. And the cat ball then goes flying off the shelf again. We've got that on camera.
Yeah.
It's on our Facebook page. There's a trailer there for now. It says live Saturday, but yeah, that's me and him on Saturday night. Pop noodles and investigation.
Sure. And that's facebook.com/paranormalencountersuk.
Yep, that's the one.
And you guys have the YouTube feed, which obviously we'd encourage everyone to view and subscribe to.
Please do. just go to YouTube, type in Paranormal Encounters UK, same thing, same name.
Yeah.
We are trying to promote YouTube because that's where we're going to start putting. I think we're going to fade away from lives. Well, not fade away completely, but when we do these big mass investigations, we're going to go live for an hour or two and then stop, and then we're going to do rest of the investigation and pre-record, edit. And then put it on YouTube because we want everyone to start coming over to YouTube. This is where we want our focus to be. We do want to be one of the mainstream paranormal shows out there, but we are going to be genuine. None of this drama that you see, unfortunately, on some of the other pages. Where we're going, can we say, Lindsay?
Yeah.
Walton Hall we're going to in Liverpool. It's an abandoned mansion, but there's a caretaker and security on there that looks after it. Stops people from maybe going out there, breaking in and doing the investigation that way, just for safety reasons. But yeah, we're looking forward to that. It used to be owned by three Masons at one stage. Was it a World War II hospital one stage?
Yes, it was, I believe. And a ship building merchant, I think, from Liverpool. But yeah, it looks really good. Very excited about that one. I'm a little bit nervous because apparently the spirits there don't like women, but hey ho.
Oh yeah, we're sending you into the Three Masons section, aren't I? On your own.
I keep saying this, but I'm not at the minute.
A couple of vodkas, you'd be all right.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you both.
No problem.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Peer Beyond the Veil has been written and presented by myself, Mark Watson. Music and soundtracks are credited and licensed to Purple Planet and to Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons. All rights are reserved by our parent company, MLW Publishing. You can follow us at facebook.com/peerbeyondtheveil or on Twitter at peerbeyondtheveil or at peerbeyond2020. Please click the like and subscribe buttons when you see them, most importantly, wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps us to attract the attention we need to keep the show going, to get the guests that you all want to hear from, and to help more and more people peer beyond the veil. Thank you.